A wonderful time. Met a lot of little guys that are visiting with us before Bible class this morning, and one in particular, I leaned over and I said, "Did you know that Santa is coming tonight?" And he said, "Yes, and he knows that I'm in Henderson." Possibly can. At the end of our service, Chris will be listing those people in our closing announcements. And let's be praying fervently, even as we celebrate good health and as we celebrate the conclusion of a year and the holidays and everything, that we remember those that very much are in need of our prayers and of our help. And as always, we know that you will do just that. Were it not for the beloved physician Luke and the gospel account of Jesus' life that obviously was revealed to him by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because he was not one of the 12, he was not one of the disciples that followed along after Jesus. No idea. As he was working with his father Joseph in the carpenter shop from day to day in Nazareth, as he worked with wood, did he put two of those pieces of wood together in his mind and think, "This is where I'm going to wind up someday"? We don't know exactly how that developed or how that came along. There are 18 years of silence in there between this story and the Lord beginning his ministry. But the point is that the Lord had a plan. And that is the point for us as well. We too must have a plan for life that in some cases is discovered later, but it can be discovered very early in life. In fact, it is our hope and prayer that it's discovered very early in life. It is one reason why the Lord has given us such things as the Christian home. It is another reason why that the Lord has given us the church. There's a reason why that we have a very carefully designed and maintained program of Bible study that takes our children through, as well as our adults, through every portion of Scripture, not just those that are our favorites, but in every portion of the Word of God. And so as we think about discovering a plan early, is it possible for there to be a young man growing up in the church who envisions one day being up here leading singing, as our brother Gary is doing today, being a deacon, being an elder, even the work of the ministry in some way? There's so many different opportunities available. Is it possible that that spirit can be captured very early in life? Well, we know that it can be, and of course is. There are some who try other plans and discover that that's not the plan for them. And as long as we're living and breathing, that's not too late. But we've got to be about the business of finding the plan that is especially most pleasing to the Lord. First, we must have a plan. Then the Lord had experience. He realized that he not only had to plan, but he had to make preparation. And this is in particular the verse 52, Jesus went back to Nazareth, verse 51. He went back to Nazareth. He was subject to them. There's never an indication that even though he says, "My Father's house," with a capital F as opposed to a little f, there's never an indication of a lack of respect or a lack of regard or an appreciation for everything that Joseph, as his earthly father, has done for him. As long as he lived, we don't know exactly when Joseph leaves the scene. We assume relatively early because we do not find mention of him again at the beginning of the Lord's ministry. But the Lord knew that that time, before he began his work publicly, he spends 18 years preparing for, in effect, 3 years. It, of course, is not merely human preparation. There's also the divine plan of God that is being lived out in his life. But there's got to be his cooperation with that. There's got to be his willingness. In fact, there's got to be his work of God's plan. Sometimes we think that we can skip a step in the process of becoming who or what we want to be. Sometimes we think we can skip a step in the process of maybe assuming a position that we think is just right for us, but it's not right for us. In particular, it's not right for us because we've not made the necessary preparation for it. Cannot be granted to us just on the basis of what perhaps someone has done before us, to whom we may be very close. They did the work, we too must do the work. We've had very fine and very conscientious young men through the years that many of you know and love and have had a great part of training and developing simply by being members of the Henderson Church, who have come to school here to be Bible majors. Some of them after a semester, some of them after a year, are ready, they think, in their own mind to go out and conquer the world. They don't need the full four-year program. They certainly don't need graduate education. They need just to get out there and get at it. And they'll be winning souls to the Lord right and left. And you know, there are those who have been successful at being great soul winners without the benefit of an education or even a Christian education, but it's the exception to the rule. There have been many of those young men who left early who came back later saying, "I thought I knew what I was supposed to do. I know nothing about what I'm supposed to do." In fact, just recently, there was a letter that I really have not had the chance to respond to yet, of someone who's older, who very much wants to come back to school and to complete their degree. But it's not just completing a degree. They've completed another degree. They want to come back and study the Bible full time and receive the amount of education that you would receive generally in a Bible program. Why? Well, they have a vision. They've envisioned what the Lord could use them to do. They've seen other things they could do. But they realize there is exact, intense preparation that needs to be made to step out there and do the work of ministry. Think about how the Lord made his preparation. What was he doing in those 18 years? He had to be a student of the Word of God. He was the Word of God in flesh. And there was never an occasion in his 3 years when he could not recite exactly what the prophet said or recite exactly what Moses, by means of the Holy Spirit, had revealed even from the beginning in Genesis. You know, he had to spend a great deal of time being separated from his Heavenly Father, of being in communion with him and praying. Why? Because in the 3 years that we see him as an adult, he is fervent in his prayer life. We know he had to be someone who is having discussions, as he was with these rabbis. You think he went back to Nazareth and never had another discussion with the rabbi in charge of the synagogue in Nazareth? Or that he missed those opportunities on the Sabbath day to go along with Joseph to the synagogue service where the men were welcome to study a portion of the Word of God? Do you think that he wasn't concerned about people? That he wasn't concerned about just the souls that would be saved as a result of the shedding of his blood eventually, but that he wasn't concerned about the needs and the hurts, even the wants of those that were in the most desperate need? See, he was developing character, Christ-like character, we like to call it, that was a process, preparation. And before we can do what it is that we do in terms of our work or in terms of our family or in terms of our contribution to the church, we can't just envision it. We've got to make the proper preparation before we have the opportunity to do the work. And that's exactly what we see in the example of the Lord, the execution of the plan. There's an old saying that once we plan a work, and this could be something that is, you know, manual labor, it could be something that involves the creation of some new invention. There may be all kinds of things in the range of possibilities, but once we plan the work, then we've got to work the plan. And so we've got to be about that business of showing up on a regular basis. We've got to be there and do what is supposed to be done, not only at the minimum level, but in spirit of what the Lord taught at its very best level that we're capable of. I mean, someone else could do it better, perhaps. But the best that we're, that's all he asked, that's all that we're accountable for, is doing the best that we can. And so as we think about the preparation Jesus made, age 30, we wouldn't know that if it wasn't for Luke. Luke 3 in verse 23. Age 30, he steps out from Nazareth, goes to Capernaum, and he begins his work of evangelization there that again is continuing to this very moment in time. The whole world. Think about the wonder of the words that Jesus spoke. I think about the first time that the Lord met Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I think in particular about the first time that he saw a very good man, one who had become an apostle by the name of Nathanael. And the first time the Lord sees him, he says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael says, "How in the world do you know me? We've never met." And the Lord said, "When you were standing over there under that tree, I knew exactly who you were, who you are." John 2:25 tells us that the Lord did not need anybody to tell him what was in the heart, the mind, the life of another person. Well, he was divine as well as human. But he prepared himself to be someone. You're talking about winning friends and influencing people, as well as stirring up the establishment of the day that was definitely on the wrong course and needed correction. You think that he wasn't prepared for anything and everything? Yes. The wonder of his works. I think about how amazed that humble band of Galileans must have been to have been in that boat on the Sea of Galilee in the night when the Lord is asleep. And they awaken him by saying, "Do you not care? I mean, do you not care that we perish, that we're going to die? Do something here." And the Lord says, "Peace be still." And the Sea of Galilee is as calm as it can possibly be. And then they ask, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Think about what it would have been like to have been a leper, to have had a body that now was as pure, clean as a newborn baby. I think of what it had been like if someone never been able to have a step in their lives. Can you imagine that? There are those among us who have not known really, at least in a long time, what it's like to take a step. Can you imagine regaining the strength or feeling for the first time the strength in one's legs in order to get up and be able to walk on your own and do much more than that? Can you imagine losing a loved one who obviously the loss was untimely? And he loves that person so much that first he cries because he identifies with the hurts of Mary and Martha and then commands Lazarus to come forth. Think about the preparation that the Lord had in receiving the power of God bestowed upon him. And he not only has made the personal preparation, but he's made the spiritual preparation, the divine preparation, to carry out everything the Lord's will. We are looking during the holidays here at three lessons called snapshots of Jesus. Last week, one of his healing miracles and how that applies to us. The lesson today about his vision and about his experience and his execution of the plan. And then next week, the Lord willing, how he completes all of that perfectly. But as we think about where it applies to us, we too have got to decide. For instance, here's a young man and a young lady already decided about what they're going to do with their life in terms of their life work. They know what they want to do, and they know a lot of things that they don't want to do. But they also know what they want to do beyond that. They know they want to marry someone in the Lord's church. They know that they want to establish a Christian home. They know that eventually down the road, they want to bring children into the world by the grace and mercy and gift of God. But they have in mind the way in which they're going to be raised, the way in which they're going to be taught, the way in which they're going to be trained. And then they bring that to fruition as they watch. And so many of them at the age when Jesus goes to the temple for the first time, they see them being baptized into Christ around the age of 12 or so and take their place in the church. And then as long as they have life and as long as they have those children, they continue to nurture and to encourage and themselves be the kind of example that those children will always need them to be. The kind of citizens in a community that that community desperately depends upon, that an entire nation depends upon. Even the world is made better. Because there was a vision, there was a preparation time, and there was a time to perform where the rubber meets the road. We think about all of that in view of the church, which is where we should always think in terms of our application of lessons, not just to everyday life. But there's a way in which that we want to be sure we're about the Father's business. I'm looking today at a typical audience that Roy and I are very familiar. Brother Ben back there for so many years, very familiar, looking at this audience. Others like it, filled with talent, filled with ability. A lot of it has been tapped. There's been an announcement already about opportunities that abound for us to serve, not in small ways. The Lord sees service, whether well-known or unknown, as being the same in His sight. And as we think about growing in the church, you see, this is where it's important that whether we're 5 or 10 or 12 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 70 or even 90, we are still living according to our vision. We're living according to our preparation. We're living according even to performances of the past, but yet what is there yet to do? What is there yet to accomplish? It's one thing that keeps us living, one thing that keeps us going. And our work is far from done as long as the Lord gives us life and opportunity. So as we think about the mission of the church, and that means your mission and my mission, let us think about being about the Father's business. In this work, we will be humble. We're not the Lord. We're servants of the Lord. Even when we're in the position of overseeing a congregation, that is the highest position of service, even in the form of leadership. And we have models that show us how to carry out that. We will also be helpful. There will not be a task that is too small for us. We do not want to get too big for our britches, where we are too big to bend over and pick even the smallest item of trash up and throw it away, or to go to the most humble of souls and, in fact, the most humble of places on the planet, to love people who have never dying souls. If we do that, if we accomplish that with humility and with happiness, we're going to be in helpfulness, we're going to be happy. We're going to have a joy that Paul talks about in Philippians 4. We're always wondering, what does he mean, rejoice always? You live this kind of life, that your life is going to be filled with joy. Many rewards here as well as those to come. We also are going to be giving our heart, our emotions, our head, our intellect, and our hands to the greatest work in all the world. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? that I must be in my Father's house. That is wisdom for the ages. And it came from a 12-year-old. A 12-year-old who was not typical, really, of other 12-year-olds, and yet no one knew that. No one suspected he was going to jump out and be the Christ, the Messiah. Even his own brothers and sisters didn't believe for a while. But he changed the world forever. And the process that he went through in those 12, those 18 years, and then those 3 years, doing everything according to my Father's will, we have hope of eternal life. We have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the completion of the inspired Scripture. And we have not only the hope of heaven, but we have the courage to carry on. When our hearts are broken, when the test seems too large, when we don't believe that we can do it, but if we don't do it, who will do it? All of that we're inspired by the example of this, yes, unique, divine 12-year-old who came to die that we would live with him eternally. Today we invite anyone who has not yet named the name of Jesus by confessing your faith in him as the Christ, the Son of God, to quit living as if you can save yourself, because you can't. Only he can save you. And no other name is there salvation other than the name of Jesus the Christ, Acts 4, verse 12. And so if we're ready to repent of our sins, and if we're ready to be baptized into him for the forgiveness of our sins, we will be. And we'll be added to the church. And maybe that vision that has been lacking in your life, you now see. Maybe the preparation that is needed to serve, you now have the opportunity to receive. The production, the results, the completion of a lifelong task as a member of the Lord's family, his church. That's where you take your place. And he'll be waiting to greet you someday with the words we all want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. It begins with the decision that you make as we stand and as we sing.